Thank you for inviting us again. It is such a pleasure to be with you. Good to see your faces, familiar, friendly faces. It's good to worship God with you and just be here today. Our scripture reading today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I had always wanted to preach through the whole New Testament before I get too old and pass away. And you're laughing. So I hopefully have some time left. But 2 Corinthians here is one of the last books that I haven't done. And so I'm excited to be in the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. Hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Amen. When I was small, I thought that my mother was the most comforting person in all the world. If I was sick or was having any kind of troubles such as a kid can have, she was always there. But looking back, I realized that I was wrong about my mom. She was not the most comforting person who ever lived. God is. Eternal God. Almighty God. He is the God of all comfort. This morning, may we rejoice in our God who comforts us. We're starting with verse 3, which teaches us that God is the source of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, any one of us, any person in the world can potentially comfort others at times. You don't have to be a Christian to be able to comfort your friends or your family. We are, after all, made in the image of God. All people are made in the image of God. And though we are fallen and the image of God has become dim in us, still it is there for all the human race. As believers, we're being restored into the image of Christ. And so that means that our potential to be comforters is growing. As we become more like Christ, our ability to comfort our neighbor grows. But having said that, God's comfort surpasses any comfort that anyone else in the world has to offer. We look in verse 3 and I know you can tell that God's comfort is connected with His fatherly mercy. See, God is merciful, and so when He sees us afflicted, when He sees us troubled, because He's merciful, His natural impulse, His natural desire is that He wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort you. When I was a small boy, about the age of 7, I became very sick and landed in the hospital for a lengthy time, twice. My dad had to work, of course, while I was sick, but whenever he could, he would drive to Denver to see me in the hospital bed. He would come maybe with a little egg of silly putty. Or he'd come with a G.I. Joe. But you know, the comfort that he gave just walking into the room was indescribable. It was the most glorious thing to me to see my dad. The Father of mercies is able to comfort us more. And I don't just say that because it's here on the page in verse 3. I say this because I have found personally that it is true. And so I want to stand up here today before you and say, blessed be my God, who is the God of all comfort, the source of all comfort, the origin of all comfort, the creator of all comfort. I give glory to my God. Now we come to verses 4 and 5, and we have a second point. Blessed be God, who is able to comfort us in any and every situation. We read, who comforts us in all our tribulation. In all of our tribulation. Some Bibles would translate it affliction, trouble, sorrow, suffering. I don't care which translation it is. God is the comforter in every situation. Every trouble, every problem, every pain, every anguish. God remains our comfort. As believers, there are times when we suffer more than anybody else. There are times when we are singled out because we are Christians and we have hurts that other people don't have. 8th grade, my parents moved to a new town, and I enrolled in a new junior high school, and I found some Christian friends, which was a pretty big deal in Colorado because there aren't that many Christians in Colorado. It's different from here. We would meet before school once or twice a week, and we'd read our Bibles together, and we would pray together. And evidently some of our classmates noticed and took offense, and so one day they pushed some of us down a stairwell and just began to spit on us. Just simply because we had Bibles in our hands. This was a long time ago, good old United States of America. And things are getting worse. They're not getting better. But you know what? God's word here says that while sufferings can increase, they can be the sufferings of Christ. That's a good thing. I'm not ashamed I was spit at. It's kind of a badge of honor. Not everybody gets that. Our sufferings may increase, but so is our comfort that we receive from God, you see. We are so blessed and we don't even know it. We read in verse 4 and 5 of just a tremendous comfort. A comfort for any of us who are in trouble. God is, we read in verse 5, of an abounding comfort from God. A comfort that overflows like a flood will overflow its banks, like a river will overflow its banks in a rainstorm. The comfort of God just can overflow. It is so great and it is so wonderful. And we can participate in that ourselves in comforting our brothers and our sisters, you see, who are. We can bring the comfort of God Himself to our brothers and sisters if we have a mind to do that. When Robin had cancer and used to have to go to Jackson every 3 weeks or so for chemotherapy, she would sit in a room with other cancer patients who were hooked up to the chemo also. Some of those in the room were Christians, and obviously so, and some were not Christians, and obviously so. But God used those Christians who had been on chemo for a while to comfort Robin, for whom it was all new. And I remember how happy she was and filled with joy coming out of the chemo room, because she had the joy of the comfort of other believers who were suffering what she was only just beginning to suffer. That's how God's comfort works. We are comforted for a purpose. Well, first of all, we're afflicted for a purpose. Then we're comforted for a purpose. And one of those purposes is that now we can be comforters. And we can help people tremendously. We don't have to be anybody special at all. We don't need any courses, any Sunday school classes. You see, we learn to comfort in the school of affliction. That's the only school we need to be used by God. Blessed be the God of all comfort. Verses 6 and 7, number 3 point. Blessed be God who both afflicts and comforts us for our own benefit. Let us read this. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are a partaker of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Several things that we learn when we have to suffer, when we're afflicted. First of all, we learn about God. What do we learn about God when we're suffering? We learn of His faithfulness. We learn of His comfort when He comes to us in the middle of the night. He sees us weeping over the loss of a loved one. And He comes and He comforts. And that's worth 10 sermons on the love of God. He also uses suffering because we really do need to learn to endure the things that come at us in this life. That's a skill. It's an ability that we really need to have. We really need to grow in. We need to learn how to endure. But if we've lived on easy street our whole life and nothing has ever gone wrong, when troubles come, how are we going to endure anything? So you see, God is building us and He's strengthening us. And He strengthens us even through His comfort. His comfort makes us strong. His comfort makes us to be able to endure more than we ever thought we could endure. Now, I don't have a crystal ball and I cannot tell you what the future holds for you or your family or for America. But when I look at the newspaper and when I see what's going on in our country politically, it's not good, is it? Is the economy a boom economy or is it a bust economy? We may have to face more troubles in years to come than we are accustomed to. We don't know. But you see, God does bring troubles into our lives to make us strong. And He brings comfort to make us stronger. Now, we read something else that amazes me. It surely caught my attention when I was first reading it the other day. I read that we are comforted for our consolation and our salvation. What does that mean? Well, you and I know, as good Presbyterians who believe the Bible, that that salvation is an act of God in which He regenerates a person who is spiritually dead and makes him spiritually alive to God. This is a work of the Holy Spirit that He does in us. An act and work of the Holy Spirit whereby we are given faith and we are brought to repentance of sin and thus we are saved. Great thing, salvation. But what is not talked about much, I don't think, is that still, even the regenerate, who are eternally secure, must persevere in the faith. This is a requirement that we persevere in the sa- we will, you see, but we must. But some trials are so big, even when we're saved. Some trials are so big that they're bigger than us. They just are. And we need God to intervene by His power. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work. What am I talking about? Let me give you some scriptures. Acts 14:22. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Through many tribulations. Don't know how many. A lot. We have to enter the kingdom of God through going by going through a lot. Another scripture. Be faithful. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Not be perfect unto death, but faithful unto death. And you will receive the crown of life. I will give you the crown of life. But what if we're not faithful unto death? What if a person joined a church, sings in the choir, but they're not faithful unto death? Well, then they were never regenerated in the first place. And they will not receive the crown of life. Be faithful unto death, saith the Lord. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You read that, the first part of that again. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit down with me on my throne. The overcomers are given that honor. Some trials are too big for the human flesh. But when we've got the Holy Spirit living in our souls, He's already given us faith. He's already given us repentance. He's already done this. Well, then in the middle of your darkest and worst trial of your life, God gives you comfort to salvation, you see. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking to the Corinthian church, to believers. The affliction leads to the comfort, which is the power of God in our life. We shall be saved. We shall make it through. God will see to it that we do. And part of that is through His comfort that He gives. Blessed be the Father of mercies who gives comfort to endure and to overcome. Point 4, verses 8 to 11. Blessed be the Father who has proven Himself to be the God of all comfort. Let's look at verses 8 to 11. Paul is writing, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Paul gives a little bit of a brief testimony of the suffering that he had been going through in the last few years in the province of Asia. That would be the western part of modern-day Turkey, Ephesus, Troas, Colossae, many cities. He had had a horrible time. You know, the New Testament does not scratch the surface of Paul's sufferings as a Christian. We can read some of the things that happened bad to Paul. It was pretty tough when he was in Galatia, when he was stoned almost to death. But it was in Asia, the province of Asia, that he suffered more than any other time in his life. But we don't really know the extent of what he had to suffer. But when he said that it was beyond measure, I don't think he was exaggerating. I think he was telling the bare truth. We suffered beyond what you could even measure. Now, I'm told that there are smart people out there that can measure the whole planet Earth, can't they? They can tell you the circumference of planet Earth, and that's a pretty big measurement, but even the world can be measured. But sometimes our suffering can't. It may be that you're in that place one day. Can't measure that suffering. It's too big. He says above strength. So there Paul was, suffering. He doesn't tell us how or why. But it was more than he could endure. And basically he says, I resigned myself to dying. It's over, I'm dead. It was more than he could take. And so it can be. Sometimes I think about my brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution in other countries. Maybe in China, maybe in North Korea, maybe in the Arab world. There is indescribable suffering among Christians in this big old world today. Vince, I like your magazine, Voice of the Martyrs. And I know you didn't write it, but it'll paint a picture of what's happening. But you know what Paul discovered? He discovered that God's comfort was there when his strength was gone. He discovered that when his pain and suffering was beyond measure, God's comfort was up to the task. What a great God we have. I want you to think back for a moment. What's the worst sorrow that you ever underwent in your life? Was it the loss of a loved one? Was it some other disappointment that was grievous to you? Was not God faithful? No matter how bad it ever gets, God will always be faithful to His own. He will always bring comfort where comfort is needed. And there's one other thing that needs to be said in this text. We can help. Verse 10, God delivered us from so great a death. Verse 11, you also helping in prayer. Do you have any idea how much good you can do by praying for somebody who's down, who's hurting? As a believer, your prayers have power. God's power. God working through your comfort. Blessed be the God of all comfort. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you, O God. You are the God of all comfort. We love you. We are grateful to you because you have shown yourself true and faithful and loving and merciful in time of need. Oh, Father, our faith grows when we remember your comfort and we look to you in faith as we face the future. Lord, if you would use us to comfort a brother or a sister who's hurting, we would like to be available, Father. Show us who we can pray for so that you can show how great you are and how great your comfort is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.